Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Choptober 9th. This is episode 37 of the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces, and I am your host, Coleman. And I just want to thank everybody for joining us today. It's going to be an awesome show. We're going to recap everything that went on over the week. We had, in case you missed it, we had a fantastic guest, Matthew Lisick, on the show yesterday, talking about his book, Fiat Foods. If you happen to miss that show, definitely recommend going back on our Twitter handle and listening to it, or listening to it on Spotify, Bitcoin Veterans channel there. Quick update for Operation Gabriel. I want everyone to go ahead and pat themselves on the back. We have raised over $105,000, and that is all from y'all. So I just want to give a huge thank you to everybody who's helping us with this, with the donations, for the retweets, for the links, and just for your support. Again, there's a spot where you can put messages on the donation page. And I just want to spend a couple minutes going over some of the messages you guys and girls are sharing with us, because it means a lot. And we share this to everybody who's on boots on the ground over there, so they have some of that motivation. So they're all anonymous. I don't know who's writing them, but strong work. God bless. Good luck. Thank you, Bitcoin veterans. Please keep us all updated on your progress and needs. For the people, by the people. Love what you guys are doing. Good luck, and thank you for doing this. From France, with love. Sorry for all the damage there. God bless. No red tape, no red cross. President making millions, just helping people. Thank you, veterans, for your service. God bless, God bless, God bless. So again, I want to give all of you a huge thank you for supporting us with this. If you haven't seen any of the updates, up on the in the nest, that's the second link right there, the updated donation link. Right from there, if you scroll down, we're just constantly adding to that thread. So you can see every single update. Shane did one last night, kind of giving an update on things. And the biggest thing that they need right now is the cold weather clothing. It is getting a little bit chilly at night. You can see Shane's all bundled up in his video in his cab. That's going to be the biggest issue going on right now, is getting clothing. And they need more bodies. They need more volunteers, especially during the week. Shane thinks that they have a lot of volunteers coming up over the weekend, which is good. But they still need a lot of people during the weekdays. So if you are in the area and you are able to be an asset and be able to help out, reach out to us and we'll start pointing you in the right direction and how we can get you to help us with this cause and with this mission. Gabe, did you want to talk about anything that I might have missed?
No, but I just want to echo the comments that you shared. I have the distinct honor of being able to go in and review those comments as they're coming in, the notes that everyone here is sharing with us. And there are many, many more than just those. And it's amazing. It's amazing what y'all are doing and how this community has stepped up. And Yeah. There's still a need. It's going to be a long road. And that's one of the main messages that we're seeing here, is that there are people that are going to be without electricity for in some cases, up to 6 months. And it gets cold up there in the wintertime, and it's on the way. It's coming, and it's coming quickly. So it's the immediate need for cold weather gear, cold weather clothing, negative 10 degree sleeping bags, all that stuff, propane heaters. The need is huge. It's tremendous. And so we've got a lot of people up there that are counting on us, and that are currently being served by not only those of us that are out there on the ground, but by everyone here right now. This is a mission that everyone has adopted and that everyone is playing a part in. And if you want to get involved and you're not able to go up there, there are ways that you can contribute. The donations obviously are huge, and that is what's making everything possible. And we're posting how we're using those donations on our Twitter handle and on Noster. because we know how important transparency is, and we're going to remain transparent and show you exactly what impact you're having. And beyond that, there is coordination behind the scenes that needs to take place. There's coordination of supplies. One thing that we're working on right now is building out how we're managing all of our people that are jumping on that want to get plugged in. We've got a lot of volunteers that are getting involved. And so we need to put that energy to use and make sure that we're using everyone's talents the best way possible to serve the people that we're helping right now. So we've been getting a lot of questions about Milton down in Florida. It's coming. It's on the way. We're working on our basic strategy on what that's going to look like right now, because we obviously can't just, you know, pull everybody out of North Carolina and redirect all of our efforts straight down there and neglect everybody who's currently being served in North Carolina. So we're taking a look at what's happening. Obviously, we're monitoring very closely. We have people on the ground there at this moment, and we have people positioned to deploy as the dust settles, however severe that may be. So, but yes, just a big thank you to everybody again. Continue to spread the word, share it, tell people about it. This is how it's happening. This is a truly community-driven, decentralized effort, and it's effective. And I think that we are really proving now to the world the power of this Bitcoin community and the power of decentralization, and the fact that a group of citizens, just people like us, can come together and to execute a mission so effectively when the entity that is supposedly designed to actually do this has been such an abject failure. They have one job, and they're not able to do it right, but we are able to do this, and we have pulled together and made this happen with everyone here, everyone listening, and the people that are on the ground right now. So let's keep it going. We've got a lot of work to do. It's just like you said, Coleman, we do need people that are able to get up there and to be an asset to the situation. Please don't just show up if you know that you can't pick up over 50 pounds. If you have any conditions that are going to be a problem for you in a harsh environment or a difficult situation, you don't have to bring yourself up there. It's okay. Don't put yourself in danger if you know that you're not capable of doing that right now. There are many ways to contribute. So plug in whatever way you can. If you have questions, shoot us a DM on our handle. Get a hold of us, get plugged in. There is work for everybody to do. And you know the saying, many hands make light work, and there is a lot of work to do. So bring what you got, keep showing up. You're making it happen. And thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for going over all of that, Gabe. And Gabe's right. For anyone who's a veteran or worked with any sort of government agency, you know how, for lack of a better word, retarded they are. They can't do anything right for a job that should be done by one person. They have two dozen people that you all have to get permission from. And so we're able to just bypass all of that red tape. And again, that's the whole point of our mission statement, is to show what a decentralized community can get done, and just go out there. And we don't need permission. We didn't need permission to go ahead and start passing out these supplies or gathering this donations. We were just able to acquire it and just do what we have to do. There was over $100,000 of the donations are all through Bitcoin. A really small percentage of it is only coming in fiat. So again, it just speaks of what this community is able to do and how we're able to get through that. And again, at the end of the day, that's our whole goal. That's our mission statement. Go ahead, Gabe.
Yeah, just one more thing I wanted to add is beyond just providing basic support and setting up the Meshtastic communication network, which is huge. Communication is so important in a situation like this. And that's something that we've been able to do through positioning Meshtastic. And if you're not familiar with what these are, Go look in our thread from our pinned post on the Twitter handle, or just Google Meshtastic. But it's a really cool way to set up a communication network when you don't have a whole lot of resources, which is that exact situation. And we've partnered with the National Guard and placed these communication devices within their helicopters. And when they're up in the air and when they're moving around, they are contributing to the strength of this communication network. It's amazing stuff that is going on out here. But anyway, I say all that to say that take a look at what's going on, because we're introducing a new form of freedom technology to people when they need it the most. And this is a demonstration of the power of the freedom tech that we want to bring to the world, that many of us are working so hard to do on a daily basis. And this is an opportunity for us to show them the use case for things like this, the use case for Bitcoin and being able to transmit value very quickly and immediately in a dire situation. So this is, you know, not only is it turning into an opportunity to just help people because it's right, but it's also demonstrating to them that, look, this is, you know, how we can handle situations like this in the future. And then we make preparations for those sorts of things. And so instead of being reactionary to it, then we are prepared for it. So then when it happens, we're already ahead of that curve. So it's just an amazing situation. And I've heard the word serendipitous come up many times in our internal conversations and out here. But it's amazing watching all of this unfold and the way that it's happening. And it's just astonishing to me, and it's humbling that that everyone sprang into action. We had so many people that were prepared to do this just based on continuously improving their own position in life, improving their own situations, making sure that you're an asset, making sure that you're adding value and that you're ready to deploy at a moment's notice and make things happen. It's just the coolest thing ever. And I believe that that experiences like this are going to help us all to become more like that. It's going to help us all to be even more ready for situations to come in the future. And it's going to just bring more awareness to the importance of this and why we're doing what we're doing. It's more than just getting on the internet and posting funny things and picking on normies and everything else, which, yes, that's all entertaining and it's good, and I understand the value in that messaging. But when the shit hits the fan and when it's actually time to spring into action and it's time to make things happen, well, here we are. And that's exactly what's taking place. So it's just an amazing experience, and I'm just thankful to be on it with all of you.
Absolutely. And you say it all the time, Bitcoin fixes this. We're showing you how Bitcoin fixes this situation. I see Hunter out in the audience, and I know, Hunter, you're out there on the ground. So if you want to come up here and talk about what you're seeing, please feel free to jump if you can, talk about what's going on. Again, it's really surreal that we've teamed up with the Tennessee National Guard and we're utilizing their assets to help us get to where we need to go to do evacuations. So it is really surreal. And like those Meshtastic devices, like Gabe was saying, they work as a low orbit Starlink, essentially, as this line of sight. So we have our own communication and we're showing people what we can do. So and with that being said, again, we're aware of what's going on with Milton. Hurricane Milton coming through. If you're in that area and you're hesitant about leaving, probably best to be safe than sorry. So go ahead and start planning those evacuation routes and thinking about that. Because those winds, they're coming in at about 150 miles per hour, I think, is what's making landfall. And with all the debris that's still left out from Hurricane Helene, you're going to have a lot of shrapnel that's being thrown around at high velocity. So if you're in that storm path, I highly suggest getting out of there. If you need help, reach out to us. But I'm going to give a couple quick shout-outs to people I see in the audience. Good morning, Lisa, Bob Van Kirk, Wade, Steve Kelly, Allison, Bitcoin, BTC Bots, Chef Sam, Chivas. Good morning, everybody. And, of course, Jacob doing everything in the background. Again, we're getting more updates on Bitcoin Alaska. We didn't talk about it yesterday, and I apologize. But Bitcoin Alaska, put in your calendar. We have July 5th and 6th. Next year is the actual conference dates. Recommend getting there a lot earlier, coming in on the 1st, staying till at least the 7th. There's going to be a lot of activities. This event's going to be family friendly, so it's going to be catered to your spouses, to your kids. It's going to be an amazing time. I love Alaska. I love Alaska in the summer. And if for all of you that this is your first time, might consider just getting a one-way ticket, because you're going to be having a hard time trying to leave it. It is just beautiful. And Wade is the one that's in charge of setting everything up. And the communication we have going on in the back channels is just, again, it gets me very fired up every time you post a new update. So clear out your spaces and your calendar, get that set, and make sure you book your hotels. That's one thing that's going to book up really quick. So again, Bitcoin Alaska, July 5th and 6th. I want to go ahead and start touching into this 60-minute interview that was done, I guess, over the weekend. It was released yesterday. Did anybody get a chance to see the interview 60 Minutes did with Harris and Waltz? Just give me a thumbs up or a fist pump if you saw it. But in this interview, it's really interesting. And when I first saw it, I didn't think it was a real interview, just because they're going so hard against both of them, against Kamala and Waltz. And so we have an interview, and I just want to play the clip. But in the clip, they are, and I apologize, I don't know the guy interviewing her, his name. But he really starts hammering home on some basic questions and about her flip-flopping on different issues. So, Jacob, when you're ready, just give me a thumbs up, and we'll just play this first clip. It's a little long. It's about a minute and a half to 2 minutes, but it's definitely worth listening to so we can dissect what's going on.
You recently visited the southern border and embraced President Biden's recent crackdown on asylum seekers. And that crackdown produced an almost immediate and dramatic decrease in the number of border crossings. If that's the right answer now, why didn't your administration take those steps in 2021?
The first bill we proposed to Congress was to fix our broken immigration system, knowing that if you want to actually fix it, we need Congress to act. It was not taken up. Fast forward to a moment when a bipartisan group of members of the United States Senate, including one of the most conservative members of the United States Senate, got together, came up with a border security bill. Well, guess what happened? Donald Trump got word that this bill was afoot and could be passed. And he wants to run on a problem instead of fixing a problem. So he told his buddies in Congress, kill the bill, don't let it move forward.
But I've been covering the border for years. And so I know this is not a problem that started with your administration.
Correct.
But there was an historic flood of undocumented immigrants coming across the border the first 3 years of your administration. As a matter of fact, arrivals quadrupled from the last year of President Trump. Was it a mistake to loosen the immigration policies as much as you did?
It's a long-standing problem, and solutions are at hand. And from day one, literally, we have been offering solutions.
What I was asking was it a mistake to kind of allow that flood to happen in the first place?
I think the policies that we have been proposing are about fixing a problem, not promoting a problem, okay?
But the numbers did quadruple.
And the numbers today, because of what we have done, we have cut the flow of illegal immigration by half. We have cut the flow of fentanyl by half. But we need Congress to be able to act to actually fix the problem.
So I really dug into this because I did not think that this was a real interview. I thought it was AI generated just because of the amount of pushback she was getting. Normally, she's just been pampered and just had everything laid out for her. But this is, in fact, an actual interview with her. And there's some other little clips that I recommend going out there and listening to. But it seems like there's been a definite change in the way that they're portraying her in the media. And I'm not entirely sure what the goal is with this. I'm a little thrown out of loop, but you've also seen Biden over recent days kind of throw her under the bus as well. talking about how she was involved in every one of the policies that he implemented over the last 4 years. So anything that's going on that people don't like, she was directly involved with it. Kamala came over the weekend and said that she was disappointed in DeSantis not allowing her to help, and that he's just trying to use political theater to his advantage. And then Biden came out yesterday and said that he spoke with DeSantis and said he's doing a fantastic job. So again, contradicting what Kamala has said. And so, Gabe, we're on the same mindset. So I'd like to get your thoughts as what do you think is going on with the media? Is this just a one-off, or do you think that there's starting to be a change in the narrative where they see the writing on the wall and they're just trying to throw her under the bus to try and distance?
Man. Yeah. Had an interesting conversation yesterday with my old man, actually. And, you know, what do we think about the possibility that maybe they want her to lose? Maybe they don't want her to win because, you know, her own party knows that everything is in complete and total decline. Okay, they are failing miserably on all fronts. We've got war breaking out everywhere. We don't even need to get started on the economy. They're completely and totally failing when it comes to disaster response. You know, think about it. Why would the guy who's running that whole show, you know, why are they getting on TV and telling everybody, nope, we're out of money. No, we suck. We just can't do anything at all. And then completely, totally proving that they're inept and they're completely incompetent. You know, why go and stir up these levels of conflicts around the world? I mean, it's almost like they know that it's beyond repair. And, you know, and I'm not going to assign blame to one party or the other, because obviously it's a longer road than just the past 4 years. We've been on this trajectory for quite a while. But, you know, what if their party has just gotten to the point where they realize, okay, this is a complete and total freaking loss. Let's go ahead and smash up as much of the circuit boards as we can. Let's go ahead and just jack up the entire place, punch holes in the walls, rip out the wiring, and then put the most worthless candidate in front of everybody and make her look like a dumbass, which, you know, is happening. She's obviously a contributor to that. But let's go ahead and let's just throw this thing away and give it to him. And then, okay, then they can easily back away and say, okay, you know what? You got it. You won. And then, you know, it's his problem to deal with. So go ahead. You wanted it, take it. And then, of course, you know, the sabotage comes in and all of the people that they have in there working against him, which I'm pretty sure there's a lot of evidence happened when he was elected before. But set him up for failure and then play the game. And in a few years in the next election, they can roll on in and step back into power. But I think there comes a point where you kind of just have to cut your losses and recognize that, okay, this ship is going down. Everything is in decline. It's falling apart. We're just going to go ahead and back off and hand it over to you. If you want it, go ahead. It's all yours. And then walk away. So it was an interesting thought. It's an interesting notion to entertain and to look into, because it sure does not look like her party expects her to actually win. And it felt like almost, you know, when I saw what happened on, I'm not an Oprah watcher, but when I saw the highlights of the conversation on Oprah, that might be a shock to some of you, but no, I do not watch Oprah Winfrey's TV shows. But yeah, when I saw that happen, there was a flag that went up that got me started thinking, okay, she's being set up for total failure right now. And then they talked about doing this media blitz this week, and that's the worst thing she could do. I mean, think about it. You know, they were able to win an election by keeping the guy before her in a basement, and they somehow still pulled it off. We're not going to get into election integrity or anything like that, but they pulled it off. They don't have to do they don't have to do a media blitz with her, because the thing is, her voters have already decided they're going to vote for her. So the only thing that a media blitz does, the only thing that more exposure and more sound bites does, is weaken her position and reveal to everybody how undeniably incompetent and how weak of a candidate she actually is. So it's an interesting thought. Obviously we're all going to be following this over the next few weeks, but there are so many factors in play right now. I have to wonder, because it does start to look like she's being put on the altar as that sacrificial lamb. And then they'll put her up there and they'll do the thing and they'll go ahead and spill her. They'll open her up and let her take the hit for it. And, you know, at the same time, they can say, well, you know, she could have been the first female, this and that, and, you know, person of color, female that ever, she could have made history and y'all made it not happen, you terrible monsters. And then guilt trip everybody for the next 4 years. And then when the time comes, say, well, look, you should have voted for her because look at what this guy did. And yeah, those are just some of my general thoughts on that. But the media is so, I believe that, I mean, their messaging is so on point and they know what they're doing. You know, they're usually in very good sync with one another in the way that they do things. And so I'm curious to see how the rest of her media blitz goes this week, because it feels like they're tossing her under the bus, like you said. And then the question is why? Because they don't have to do that. I know that, you know, journalistic integrity is something that existed at one point, maybe in time. And maybe this guy on 60 Minutes says, forget that, I'm just going to do my own thing. But I doubt it. I don't think that that's a reality. I think that machine is strong enough that, they would have had a technical difficulty if they did not like the way that conversation was really going. And I think that everybody is in on it at this point, except for her. And she's starting to get that feeling like, oh, crap, they're doing to me what they did to old Joe. And yeah. Yep. But it's going to be interesting to watch. And I will be watching. And it's going to be a wild time. But I think one thing is for sure, we can expect to see a lot of distractions from the overall election. I think that we can continue to see a lot of distractions from things that are actually taking place behind the scenes, because when we have chaos, that's when they do all their dirty business behind those curtains. So I think it's going to be important for us to not only pay attention to the stuff that they're holding out in front of us and telling us to look at, but also the stuff that they have in their other hand behind their backs.
No, absolutely. And I think I think you're onto something there, Gabe. And I'm the same belief that something in their narrative seems different. Something's changed. I didn't watch the Oprah. Sorry, I'm not as big a fan as you are, Gabe. But I noticed it when they did the VP debate with Vance and Waltz. And especially when they hit home on Waltz's statement where he said that he was in China during the Tiananmen Square incident. And they called him out on it. And he tried to go about without answering the question, but they actually came back to him and made him answer. And that's where I was like, okay, there's something going on, because it was definitely a left-leaning news media outlet that was hosting it. And so that's where my thought was changing on their view and their push. And so to give a little insight as to why I think it's going on, the job numbers that came out last week, we beat estimates by over almost 100,000 jobs. And I think that's just to fluff up the economy to allow everyone just kind of thinking everything's going good. But when you look underneath the hood, I'm in the camp that the economy is not doing so good. I'm of the belief that when you go to restaurants and you go out to different places traveling, it just doesn't seem as busy as it once was. I have a business that's directly involved with the travel industry. And so I can see the different changes. And going back from the summer all the way till now, the numbers are definitely a lot lower. And I can see it when I go out and do things, that just restaurants aren't as busy, the hotels aren't as busy. So I don't think the economy is as strong as what they're stating. And I think after November, they're going to go ahead and come back and revise all these numbers and show exactly what's going on. So maybe that's why they're trying to punter and just saying, look, they're going to be screwed for the next several years. Let the Republicans have it. We'll say we put up a really good fight, but in the end, there's no way they're going to get reelected. Inflation is going to come roaring back. there's going to be deficits, you'll have wars. It's a really good scapegoat to kind of throw this on them. So like David said, it's definitely going to be worth monitoring and seeing how the rest of her media blitz goes and other things that kind of come subtly into the spotlight. It'd be a really good time, Randy Kelly, if you're listening to us, to send us another Daily Intelligent bulletin on the road. I really miss those. And in case you missed it earlier in the week, we won't have those for the foreseeable future just because Randy is boots on the ground right now in North Carolina. So you'll have to tune in here on the weekdays at 10 o'clock Eastern time to get updated news. So anyways, I just wanted to cover that with the Kamala and the 60 Minutes. It's definitely, there's more clips. I don't want to play them all, but it's definitely something to look at and see what's going on. In other media news, it looks like we found out who Satoshi Nakamoto was. According to HBO and their movie Money Electric, Peter Todd is Satoshi. I don't know if it's just me. I have no idea who Peter Todd is. I had to research what he was doing or who he is before this show. So I don't know if that was just me, but I had no idea who Peter Todd was. I thought they were going to point to Adam Back. So that kind of came out of left field for me. But I have not seen the documentary. I just seeing all the talking points. If anybody had seen, saw the HBO documentary, feel free to join up here and give us a quick little brief of it. I saw you talk about it earlier this morning, Gabe. Did you actually watch it, or did you just get the highlight reel from Twitter?
No, I have not watched it, man. I've been trying to avoid it, honestly. To me, it feels like one of those distractions that I was mentioning, but I'm sure that I will succumb to the temptation and just so I can see what's going on, because I do believe that there will be positives that can come out of this, because obviously, as we know, Bitcoin wins regardless. And so it's interesting that this platform is bringing attention to it. But no, I have not seen it, and I'm with you. I don't know who this guy is. All I really know is that, I know who Satoshi is not, and it's the guy that's wearing my headset talking to you right now. And so, and the bottom line is I really don't care. I don't care. Bitcoin doesn't care. And it's interesting. And I think that if we did know, then, it wouldn't be a good thing, but I am convinced that this person is never going to be identified, and that and that's a good thing, and that's by design. And I just have to wonder what the motivations are behind them doing this. Why is HBO putting out this show? It's like I said, what's in the other hand behind their back? Why are they doing this? Who made a decision to say, hey, you know what? Let's do a show, and let's say Peter Todd is Satoshi Nakamoto. Okay, what's your motivation? It's always a question of incentives, right? So what is their incentive for doing this in the first place? I don't know. But my comment was, and I kind of woke up and chose anger and snarkiness, I guess, this morning. But I think my comment was something like, and the award for best script goes to HBO, because they have, they wrote the dialogue for every Bitcoin Twitter person this week or something like that, because everybody's talking about it. So I was kind of taking a jab at everybody. I didn't mean anything by it, because it's I don't know, it just, when something comes up like that and everybody gravitates to it and everybody starts talking about it and making a big deal out of it, I feel like, what is this distracting us from right now? And so that's why I have to wonder, because I don't see HBO necessarily as a virtuous organization that is fighting hard to spread the message of freedom and truth into the universe. And so that's my question. Why do they do it? And that's another reason why I want to watch it, so I can look for the underlying messaging there and find the patterns and find out what their angle is, because I think that is the actual story behind the story, as they say.
Yeah. And I think it's more important for people that are just getting into Bitcoin, right? That's usually the first question I get from people is, well, who is it? Who is Satoshi Nakamoto? And so it might just be a movie that they just have because they get a lot of questions. Maybe BlackRock's pushing it to get more interest. Again, the angle is not known yet. It also could just be a distraction. The Supreme Court just allowed or paved the way or gave approval for the U.S. government to sell 69,310 Bitcoin. I don't know why they couldn't increase that by an additional 110 Bitcoin to make it 69,420, but they just approved or just allowed the approval of that sale from the Silk Road. So maybe that is a little bit of distraction going on. Regardless, I don't think it's imminent. I don't know if the United States government is going to sell that Bitcoin right away, but other than they're just given approval to sell it if they need it. But if they do start selling it, again, to tie in what we did earlier with the economy, that to me would tell me that the economy is not doing so well. Why would you sell an asset it doesn't cost you anything to hold on to? Why are you trying to sell it to generate money unless you absolutely need it? So just kind of some food for thought. Good morning, AC. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. Sorry, I'm in the car right now, so forgive the background noise. But I just wanted to jump in on the HBO special real quick. I think the best take, at least from my perspective, was Jack Mahler's. He went on this pretty sick rant saying that this, trying to dox Satoshi, is so fiat, and I love that. And then he talks about, similar to what Saylor says, you know, Satoshi created a way, he gave it away, and then he walked away, right? Based on everything that he did, the one thing that he wanted was to stay anonymous. And I think Bitcoiners should kind of respect that because we don't need a Bitcoin CEO. And I think that him staying anonymous is the best thing that Bitcoin can have from Satoshi following that. So that was it. And then I'm going to jump back down. Thanks, Coleman.
Yeah, thanks, AC, for coming up. It's been a while since we heard you, so I'm glad you're doing well. But you're right. It is, they make good points. It's very fiat-minded thinking to allow that. And if he was ever doxxed and destroyed envy or there or her or him, whatever individual is identified as Satoshi and is confirmed, that puts a giant X on their back. They hold a lot of Bitcoin. And so I remember an interview with Hal Finney's wife, and I apologize, I don't know her first name. But when people were speculating that Hal Finney was Satoshi, she received a lot of death threats. She received a lot of swatting calls. Those are where people call SWAT, saying that there's somebody in the house going to kill somebody. So a SWAT team shows up. So it's really traumatic for the families and individuals involved. So I agree with AC and everybody that's been in Bitcoin for some time that just let it go. If it was meant to be, it was meant to be for us to discover his identity. But it's not, so there's other things to look at. But there, Harvard students came out with something that's pretty terrifying that everybody should be made aware of. And I'll throw the link up in the nest. But Harvard students have found a way to use the Meta smart glasses to search people's faces, identify them, and then they do a complete social media check. And then they can actually pull up on their lenses who the person is, their whatever they're working, like all of their information. And so you can go up and have a random conversation with somebody and you know every single thing about them. So it's really terrifying. And let me just kind of pull it up and put it on the nest so you guys can see. It's a video where they're walking around and showing you how it works. So there's nothing that we can play because it would just be a video of someone walking around. But when I was at Bitcoin Nashville, waiting for Trump to speak, I saw the Secret Service walking around. And they walked around very methodically just about an hour before Trump actually spoke. And I remember talking to some other Bitcoiners that I thought that they were walking around using something like this on their bodies because they were walking and staring into the audience, walking really slow. And then once they all made their pass, they all disappeared really quick. And then there's about a 45-minute delay, and they actually called somebody out by name in the audience and told them they had to go to the security checkpoint. And it wasn't until after they had left and Trump came on stage that they had mentioned that there might have been a security breach inside, and they just wanted to make sure everything was safe. So I think that there is technology like this out there that government is definitely using. But it's crazy that now the civilians are going to be able to start utilizing this technology. Gabe, do you have any thoughts on this?
Man, I'll tell you, they have a lot more information on just about everybody than what people are willing to accept. I think that that's probably not news to a lot of people in here, but to the general public, you look at the amount of data, personal data that we upload into the interwebs all the time. I mean, people are posting everything that they do. We are literally uploading our consciousness in some ways into the cloud, into this realm. And it's not just being seen by our friends and family. And I think many of us, obviously, that are more familiar with security recognize this, but there are literally billions of people that are living their lives completely online, walking around, literally streaming their life experience online and putting it out into these databases. And it's not that hard to get a hold of it. It's not that hard to pull that information out. And the fact that these students are demonstrating that, I think, is obviously evidence of it. And if a bunch of students can do it, well, I think it's a pretty safe conclusion that there are governments that can do it as well. And we all know that if they can do it, then they are doing it. So that information, your data, it's not your data, first of all. It's like fiat money, okay? Fiat money, it's not your money. And they're going to do what they want to do with it. It's the same with your data. Your data, your information, the stuff that we voluntarily upload into the cloud doesn't belong to us. It's not ours. So we gotta get rid of that idea that our identity belongs to us alone, unless we are taking very, very clear and effective measures to at least minimize the amount of data leak that we have that becomes accessible to other people, because they are after it and they are going to get it. And that's not going to be something that is just going to decrease. Conversely, it will increase. We can expect to see more and more of this happening. And this is, again, this is why it's so important to have more freedom technology in our lives. This is why it's important for us to support developers that are building out things like Nostr that can protect our actual true our identities and who we are as a people, because our identities have been transferred online. It's just how it is. And if somebody has an image of you, they can use AI first of all, find out everything about you, create content about you that is accurate, that does apply to who you are and who you have presented yourself to be, your avatar, if you will. And they can create content that aligns with that, that they can show anybody and capture your facial features and expressions and voice and generate content and put it out to the world about you. And that can be a pretty scary thing, but there are ways that are beyond my comprehension, but I know that they exist because thankfully, most of my friends are much more intelligent than I am, and sometimes they share some of these amazing gifts that they have with me. And then, as a monkey, I can kind of like pick up pieces of it from amongst the gravel on the ground and gobble it up and perhaps grow from it. But there are people that are really smart that are working on these things to protect us, to protect our identity, to verify the content that is out there, to verify the data that it does actually belong to us. And not only that, but to protect it in a way that can at least minimize widespread abuse of these types of powers, because it exists, it's out there, and the world's not, and look, I don't want to be a downer for anybody, but I do have to say that the world's not becoming a safer place right now. We're moving in a different direction than that. And so it's important for us to recognize that, there are elements that don't want good things for you. They just don't. And they want to do bad things to you. And it's important to protect yourself. And this has always been the case. I'll go back to me, the monkey. There were times where I had to, where like people that came way before me, they had to watch out for woolly mammoths stepping on them. And so they had to take measures to be aware of that. They didn't want pterodactyls coming down and flying and scooping them up. So they had to be smart and they had to protect themselves. And we are in an age right now where there are much, much scarier things than pterodactyls that are coming that can harm us in pretty serious ways, because the tools that we have are the tools that exist right now. They really are beyond most of the comprehension of the general public. We don't know the kind of stuff that they have, but I can tell you it's very powerful, and we need to be prepared for that. So if you're just here and you're just checking things out and this is new to you, start checking out Noster. That's my plug for Noster. I'm not sure if you know this, but I work for the marketing team over there. Sorry, that's a joke. They don't have one, but that's something that I would definitely look into. That is the next level of freedom technology. If you're newer to Bitcoin and this is neat for you, and you're starting to recognize the value of it and maybe the implications, which the road is going to lead you to the implications on freedom. And then that next progression in that, on that path, in that journey, is going to take you to communication. It's going to take you to speech. It's going to take you to information. It's going to take you to Noster. And that's what I'm recommending everybody start looking at. If you don't have a profile, get in there, get a profile. There are multiple avenues that you can take, plenty of options. Start looking at it. Protect yourself. Because if you can't protect yourself, you're not going to be able to protect anybody else either.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you have any questions about Noster, just go ahead and send us a message, and we'll go ahead and hook you up with the right parties that can get you in there. Again, I fall in the category of Gabe. I rely on others with this technology. A lot of it's really far over my head and pay grade. And so I just get them to walk me through it. But if I can do it, I think anybody can do it. But it is going to be important, especially one of the biggest things that we constantly have to remind my mother-in-law about, because she's definitely older, but she just likes to click things on her phone and just give information away randomly. And there's definitely technology out there where people can record your voice and send it to somebody and asking for information. Just a way to counter that, I always recommend setting up code words with your immediate family. So if they're asking for something that doesn't seem right, or if they just say the word in a sentence, should just kind of alert you to something could be wrong or everything's okay. So definitely recommend having that, and don't rely on facial recognition for making transactions. I know Unchained uses facial recognition and voice recordings to go ahead and allow transactions to take place. And so I would just, if you're using something like that, just be really cautious that people can get your information and pretend that you're you. And so it's just one avenue of attack. But I see a couple new people up on the stage here. Just want to welcome up. I see Chivas and Tao. Sorry if I got your names wrong, gentlemen.
Thank you. It's Chivas, like that Chivas Regal. But I appreciate it. First time up here. Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to throw my two cents in there real quick. I'm outside and my phone's about to die. So I worked for the sheriff's department for almost 14 years. And every new book that comes in, they get what is a retina scanner. So they have to look into a machine. It looks like an ATM. And that's the type of information.
You're starting to go into the matrix, Jeebus.
Sorry, I don't know. I'm outside, so I got bad reception. Apologize. I just want to say it's the same thing with the phones. A retina scanner, it's the information that they collect. The government has it. Everybody that gets booked into jail, they scan your retinas, and it has, like, I don't know, 2 million more identifiers than your fingerprint. Sorry, I just wanted to throw that out there.
No, and it's good to make people aware of that they have this. And then again, it's essentially they have all of your information. I don't know if we talked about it on the show, but a couple months ago, everybody's social security number, driver's license, address was all leaked from one of the financial institutions. I think it affected every single citizen in the United States. Your information's out there, so you have to make sure that you're protecting everything that you have. And so it's actually a perfect segue into one of the other topics I wanted to hit on. There were hackers that breached the American Water Works system. And so these hackers over the last 48 hours have compromised American Water Works computer networks and system. This is the largest regulated water supplier in the U.S. They have over 14 million people in New Jersey, California, Pennsylvania, and Illinois, and as well as 18 military bases. So what information they were able to hack or get into hasn't been released yet, but there's a lot of damage that they can do by doing that. They can change the chemicals, they can shut things down. And for a long time, I've heard a lot of people say how vulnerable our infrastructure is, not just the water, but the electrical grid. And you imagine what's going on right now in North Carolina with the storm. Can you imagine? These people have no power, no way of communication. Could you imagine if that happened across the entire United States? Like, it would just be absolutely devastating. So again, make sure that you're prepared. Make sure you have these local communities that are set together. Good morning, Lisa. I'm glad you joined.
Hey guys, good morning. Just a quick note on protecting your information. After that Social Security breach, I looked into like what, you know, how to really lock down any sort of credit vulnerabilities. And it's super easy. It took me less than 5 minutes on 4 credit agencies to completely lock down, you know, the ability for anyone to open any credit in my name. So highly encourage folks, just hop online and do that. It really just takes a few minutes. And, you know, if you're buying a house or you're buying a car or, you know your credit needs to be tapped for some application, it's super easy to turn it off for a very short period of time. So highly encourage.
Man, it just kind of works like, correct me if I'm wrong, Lisa, but it kind of works like if you just lock your card, your debit card on an online app. I think that's how it works with the agencies. You just go and log in to Experian, Equifax, whatever you're using, and you can just lock it down so nobody can take out a new loan or do something like that. So definitely, and thank you for touching on that, Lisa. But before we go too much further, I definitely want to give a quick thank you to our partners who help us make this show go. Punch Plate, I see you in the audience. Good morning. Check them out. Get a seat metal stamp for your seed phrase at punchplate.com. Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms training at paladintowertactics.com. Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining at solosatoshi.com. And Black Sheep Ammo, restock your ammo supplies at blacksheepammo.com. And I'm going to say it again, Bitcoin Alaska, July 5th and 6th. Make sure you all are going to be there. When we get more information, we will go ahead and release it. But right now, we just have the dates. We're trying to finalize the website and everything else. But clear your calendar right now. Go ahead and start looking at flights. It's going to be an amazing time. And I see we have Joe Colasari in the audience. So I definitely welcome you up to the stage, sir. I'd like to get your thoughts on anything that's going on right now. I know you were in a panel last night talking about MicroStrategy. So we can get you up here talking about MicroStrategy. So again, with Operation Gabriel, just want to give a quick recap and first off say thank you for everybody who might have missed it at the beginning of the show. Everyone who's donated to us, it means a lot. We've raised over $105,000. So again, that's all from you guys, from your donations, for the retweets. It means a lot. So please continue that. Make sure we're spreading this message. Or just because we've raised the money doesn't mean we're stopping. We still have boots on the ground. We're trying to get more people out. We're changing personnel in and out as well. And so we want to make sure that we continue to raise this money and make people aware, and we're utilizing it to do good. So again, we're trying to use this to get cold weather clothing, sleeping bags for for cold weather. Trying to get heaters, generators, fuel, and communication. And like Gabe had mentioned earlier, there's some areas are going to be without power for 3 to 6 months, especially going to the winter months in the mountains. it's going to get mighty cold. So we want to make sure that we're helping everybody out. So continue to spread the message, continue to retweet that link that we have up in the nest. And if you haven't done so, please, if you can, just donate some sats to us. It does go a long way. And again, Hurricane Milton coming through. If you guys are in that area, you're running out of time if you need to leave. I saw that there's 20% of all gas stations in Florida are without gas. So pretty crazy. Again, I think it was last week we talked about how to make sure that you're prepared for different situations. And this falls right along with that thinking, making sure that you're prepared for any situation. You have gas cans, you have food, you have an escape route, you know where you're going to go in these situations. So again, if you're in that path of the storm, it's going to hit it as a high category 4 hurricane. So it's going to cause a lot of damage. So just make sure you're safe. And if you need help, let us know. Reach out to us. As our community is growing, we have more and more resources at our disposal. We're able to reach out and make an impact. But we're getting to the top of the hour. So I just want to go through and see if anybody wants to add anything else, cover anything that we might have missed, get us ready for tomorrow's show. I'm going to take that as a no. On tomorrow's show, it's going to be we're going to have Bob Burnett with Barefoot Mining coming on. So I'm really looking forward to that. I really enjoyed the mining sector in Bitcoin. I think there's a lot of untapped potential and a lot of different things. As the network grows and as technology advances, it's going to be really interesting to see how this impacts people. Again, I really like seeing what Alex Gladstein is doing over in Africa with getting power to these extremely remote villages and able to set up the renewable energy hooked up to a Bitcoin miner, so the people investing in that initial setup return their get their ROI a lot quicker. But then you're just creating this little economy for these villages, for these towns that have never once had power. And so think if you're a young child trying to go to school, once the lights go out, once it's dark, you can't do your schoolwork anymore. So by having these power plants, being able to turn on a light bulb just so you can read, do your schoolwork is going to have lasting impacts on these people, on these citizens, on these villages. So I'm really looking forward to tomorrow's discussion with Bob. But I'm going to go ahead and say that's a wrap for today. I want to thank everybody who tuned in, for everybody who's listening, everybody who spoke, and everybody who just had us on in the background, just so you can drown the voices out in your head. I really appreciate you guys coming on and listening to us. Again, we do this every day, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern time. We do have the Bitcoin video podcast that we did not have a show yesterday just due to everything going on. But last week's guest was Dr. Jeff Ross. Definitely recommend going back. If you haven't seen that video yet, go check it out. It was a great interview. Dr. Jeff makes some predictions of what he thinks is going to happen during this bull market. I'm not going to give you any spoilers. You got to go back and listen to it because it is a fantastic interview. It was done by Mike and Shane. So it was really, really good. So again, you can go check out the Bitcoin Veteran video podcast on our handle, or you can find us on YouTube. And get on the mission. Get out there. Spread the Bitcoin message. Show people what a decentralized network is capable of. Point them out to North Carolina right now, what we're doing with boots on the ground. Show them what we're able to do with our fundraisers. And if you're able to help in North Carolina, reach out to us, as long as you're going to be an asset. If you can handle yourself and you're going to be able to be an asset, reach out to us, send us a message, and we'll get you in the right direction. That's all I have, everybody. Thank you so much. Go out there and have a fantastic day and crush everything.